need to fucking suck this guy's dick, but first, I gotta lay down some towels.
Where's that waiter? Good to be back on the air again. Mike, shut up! We gotta hide our manliness from the world. That, my friend, is a chilled bottle of JD. Where's that waiter?
This is the podcast that answers all the questions.
I like learning shit. Don't tell me I ain't smart. I'm a redneck who motherfucking reads. Hell yeah.
Oh, God. Here we go. Oh, my God.
What's up?
It's Steve Jessup. Listen to my podcast.
I'm down by the river. Oh, yeah. Now, welcome. My co-host and good buddy, Mike Merrifield. Hello, Mike.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Down by the River. It's myself and my good buddy, Steve Jessup. We're chilling, and you're not going to believe it.
Yeah!
You're never going to guess, but we're down by the river.
Down by the river, up about 100 yards from it in the shop. Cold beer. I'm going to light this, Mike.
Light it up. Full disclosure, guys, this is probably the most buzzed up I've ever been doing a podcast.
Started.
And maybe you can hear in my voice, I'm even slurring a little bit, maybe.
You sound weird.
Yeah, maybe my speech is not as clear as it should be. So, but lucky you, you guys get to listen to this and enjoy it.
Well, since you're saying full disclosure, which you just fully disclose, we sat down to do the podcast here in the shop, and we got this bottle of JD here, and then we started doing little nips and tips and snips, and we're fucked up. This is the most fucked up you've ever started the podcast. That's what you're saying, because we've been fucked up at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, I'd like to start from, I guess if I was a scientist, I need like a base level. So I like to start pretty sober, you know? I like to save that first buzz for the listener. But this time, I got to admit, we kind of started partying before we turned the mics on.
A little bit, but that's no big deal. You know what's cool? I love that we're drinking. I don't know if y'all do this where you're at, but this JD has been in the freezer, so it's fucking cold.
That's the only way. It's the only way to drink alcohol.
I love it.
Liquor needs
the
to be
bottle is
ice cold. You need to fool your body
frosty
into thinking that you're not drinking poison, and the best way to do that is to have it ice cold. So your body reacts to it being cold and doesn't react to it being poison. God. That's my theory.
That's a fuck. Ah, that's gonna twist your nips.
I had to fly the other day. I wanted to tell you about this. I had to fly.
Yeah.
And I was on the plane, and you know that part when you're getting on the plane and people are trying to put their shit in the overhead. Well, there was a young girl. She was probably 23, and she was probably, I would say she was a 5, but in her mind she was a 9.5, and
right.
She asked me if I could help her put her bag in the overhead. Well, she didn't ask me.
Nice.
She asked me, but I could tell that she expected me to do it, and I'll admit,
demanded
it. Well, it was like, can you help me put this in there? And she never thought in a million years anyone would say no. And I didn't say no, but I felt bad as a man for not saying no. It's because, like, look, if I help you put your bag in the overhead, that's going to make me feel masculine. And I'm not sure how masculine it is. It might be so masculine that it's actually toxic. So the modern me wanted to go, you know what? Go fuck yourself, bitch. Put your own fucking bag in there. It's not my fault. You pack so much shit in there that you can't fucking lift it. Maybe bring less shit, you dumb bitch. But all that happened in my head, And I did the nice, quick, gentlemanly thing, and I helped her put her fucking bag in the overhead, and I feel terrible about it.
Was there any part of you who thought about saying, if I help you put your bag up, I will explode toxic masculinity all over these nice people, so I'm going to kindly decline.
Yeah, do you have...
Lift it yourself.
Unless you brought safety glasses, because I'm about to launch a fucking juicy load of toxic masculinity all over this fuselage. But it's like, we talk all the time about how we feel, you know, we feel kind of...
toxic?
Well, no, just kind of like how everybody's after the average male today and we should feel bad. But I guess it's okay for men to be masculine.
We're masculine.
As long as they're lifting heavy shit for you, it's okay. But in any other capacity, right, it's bad to be masculine. And that's so Raven.
Mike, do you like your muscles?
I don't have a lot of muscles.
I know, but when you're standing there in the mirror right after a shower, do you ever just look at him and go, I'm a man?
I think I see the chest hair first, which used to be a good sign that you're a man, but I guess nowadays it's not so coveted to have chest hair. I didn't tell you that story. Did I tell you that story about the... I'm so embarrassed, I can't even...
You kind of look like Neil Diamond if you have chest hair.
Well, I always think, you know, one of our personal heroes, Burt Reynolds, man. That motherfucker had a hairy chest.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Fucking A, you're the goddamn bandit if you have chest hair.
I didn't tell you this story, and I'm super embarrassed to tell you, but I'm going to tell you because that's how we roll. But
right.
I hooked up with this...
Hit it.
I hooked up with this girl... it's probably about 2 months ago now in Vegas, and we had some of that sex. Okay. I gave her one of them poundings. And when we were done having sex and it was time for the cuddle portion, this is no bullshit, gross. And I really feel terrible about having to admit this, but she actually took a hand towel from the bathroom and laid it over my hairy chest so she could lay her head then on my chest. She was so disgusted, so disgusted. I don't like how you're laughing. This seems... She was so disgusted, she couldn't lay her head on my chest. I wish it wasn't true, but it's a true story. I was like... I even asked, I was like, what are you doing? She's like, oh, it's your chest hair. I can't handle it. I wish I was making it up. It's the truth. It bothers me how much pleasure you're taking in this story.
I can just see her being so pissed about your big puffy mound of hair, and that she's like, I know, I'll get I'll get up and go to the bathroom and get a hand towel for this goddamn bush on the chest.
I know. She had no problem.
Oh, fuck.
She had no problem laying in the wet spot, but the thought of putting her head on hairy chest.
Right?
What happened to women wanting men? Do you think anybody ever did that to fucking Burt Reynolds? No one ever laid a towel on his chest because of his fucking manly hair. It's bullshit.
Remember that cover on Cosmo when Burt Reynolds laid there naked with all the hair on his body? I mean, women were jizzing to lay on his chest hair. They couldn't wait to think about it and get in there and lay on some of Bert's hair.
What happened?
Oh my God.
What happened though that all of a sudden that became disgusting, you know, to a girl?
I don't know. Were you, was it gut hair? Was it like hair on your belly and then it was like your gut was poking up?
Well, no. I mean, I got like a standard, you know, moderate amount of testosterone body hair. You know, I'm a fucking man. And I would say that my chest is very similar to Burt Reynolds' chest.
I don't see that. I'm looking right at your chest. I do not see Burt Reynolds' chest.
Look at that mess. That's Burt Reynolds, bro.
Not really. No.
It is.
No.
I mean, he might have had more muscles, but as far as...
You know what? Right. If Burt would have said, "You're going to take it from me," I would have probably been like, "All right, Burt." But you sitting in front of me showing me that chest there and you say you're going to take it, I'd be like, no, one of us is going to die.
Yeah, well, I'm not asking you to fuck me. I'm just asking you to have some sympathy towards the plight of the man. The plight of the man. It used to
be. Your chest there doesn't look like Burt Reynolds. It's a totally different color. It's not even laying the right way. Burt Reynolds' chest hair laid way better than yours.
I'm just saying, I'm not comparing my chest hair to Burt's. I'm just saying that
it's all yours is all scattered. It looks like a shotgun.
But I'm as much of a man as Burt Reynolds was.
Chest hair seeds in.
It doesn't matter. What? It doesn't matter. The fact is that I have chest hair. Like, what did she expect? Did she expect a guy that has no chest? That's not. If you have a guy with no chest hair, you're fucking a girl. I mean. You got to have chest hair.
I got chest hair.
Well, you got like 8 chest hairs, but at least there's something that she can look at and she knows she's fucking a man, you know? And I have a dick, too, so that's another indicator.
What I don't like about your chest hairs as I look upon them at this moment is that they all are going in different directions. Your chest hairs look upset. Your chest hairs look like they were exploded, like somebody shot you with a fucking buckshot.
No, I'm telling you, and I'm willing to put a photo of my chest hair on your Facebook page to prove to people. Let's do a side-by-side of my chest hair with Burt Reynolds. I guarantee you people won't be able to tell the difference. You put two photos up there, one with me, one with Burt, and you say... All right, everybody, which one's Burt Reynolds? And they won't be able to tell.
Oh, no, let's do it.
But my point is what's with young women nowadays that they don't want a man? Like, their idea of what a man is has been completely skewed.
You mean they don't want Burt Reynolds' chest hair anymore?
Apparently not. She was so disgusted, she put a fucking hand towel over it. Like it was a puddle of cum on the mattress. She didn't have a problem taking my load to her face. I don't like how much joy you're taking in this. It really bothers me how much you're enjoying this. This is just
I start thinking about it again. And I think about she wants to lay down on your chest hair. You know, she wants to lay down and get cuddled. And then, and then she's like, I can't deal with it. I can't.
And I didn't know what she was doing. God. She ran to the restroom, came back with a towel. I was like, what are you doing? She's like, it's for the chest hair. I'm like, ugh. Why don't you just fucking leave now?
Have you ever been going down on a girl and then you put like a little towelette at the end and lay down on it? If your bush wasn't this thick, I wouldn't need this barrier in between us.
What do you mean? You lay a towel down while you're munching box?
I don't know. I was just trying to think of how that relates in the reverse. You know, if you're laying down on a girl's big fat bush, maybe you'd lay down some sort of fucking, you know, barrier. But
I'm with you.
I mean, I've been with girls with big bushes, and I just dealt with it.
Well, it used to be the norm. That's what I'm saying. Like, a chest hair on a man used to be the norm, like a furry pussy used to be the norm. And if I'm supposed to be tolerant of a furry pussy, why can't you be tolerant of a fucking man with chest hair? I apologize. I have too much testosterone. I apologize. I'm sorry.
You are testosteronic.
I'm testosteroned out like a motherfucker, man. I can't apologize.
Ooh-wee, man, you need to go to Regenics.
So, but why doesn't she just lay down next to me then? Why does she have to embarrass me by going and getting a fucking towel and laying it down on my chest? Do you know how confused I was? I've never had anyone have to lay a towel on my chest before they could fucking post-coital snuggle me. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. But the worst part of that story was the fact that she was, like, wanting to stick around.
Yeah, well, it's like, if it's that bad, just leave.
I know, but I mean, like, what would have been a better ending to that story is I blew nuts. She left. I went to bed.
Yeah, obviously that's the way you want it to end. I couldn't get rid of this one, though. I told you about her, right? She was the one that had the New York accent. She was from New York, and I didn't really notice the accent until, now that I think about it, it's even funnier, but we ran out of towels. I guess she ran out of shit to put over my disgusting body, but we ran out of towels. And she said, why don't you have more towels? And I said, well, I called down earlier, but they just never sent any towels. And she got on the phone, and then the New Yorker came out. She's like, yeah, we need some fucking towels up here. We're in fucking 427. We asked for fucking towels. We didn't fucking get any or whatever, you know? Like, it just, she became instantly New York when she was angry and wanted something. So that was weird. Because that wasn't the girl I just fucked, you know? That was the girl that wanted towels, apparently to cover up my disgusting body.
And if you don't already know, March 6th through 10th, I'm going to be on the Trailer Park Boys Cruise. This thing's going to be loud and rowdy, going to be stoned and buzzed up the whole damn time with Ricky, Julian, and Bubbles and the whole crew. Check it out at TrailerParkBoysCruise.com. We're going from Tampa to the Great Stirrup Cay, Bahamas. It's gonna be naked, rowdy, stoned and buzzed up fun. Get on board, y'all. One time, oh, Mike, I almost threw up on you.
Get it together.
Mike, one time I met this hooker in Vegas, and she would talk funny. She had an accent. It's part of her gig on the strip, you know, to get you hooked up. She would talk like, did we already talk about this? I feel like we did. She would be like, hey, see, I'm going to get you up to the room for $500.
Oh, that's right.
Suck your cock.
Yeah, that's the time you fucked a girl from the
30s. Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah. She's like, meow, she, I got to get your dick in me. Meow.
Yeah, she would use a funny accent to be like, oh my God, I'm fucking a fucking bitch from the 50s.
I think that's what this New York bitch did. She acted like a normal person, but then apparently the towels was the point where she could no longer take anymore, and her inner fucking Brooklyn fucking came out, bring her some fucking towels. Hey, I got a guy with fucking chest hair up here. I got to cover it up before I fucking vomit.
Hey, I need to fucking suck this guy's dick, but first, I gotta lay down some towels.
Full disclosure, she would not suck my dick, and in her words, because she didn't know me like that. By the way, this is after I ate her box for fucking 20 minutes. And then when it's my turn, I don't know you like that. I'm like, really?
Wait a minute. I just knew you like that, therefore you do know me like that.
I've become fully acquainted with your snatch. Is that not enough for you?
Yeah. Remember how I was down there knowing you like that, bitch?
I just knew you like a motherfucker. Yeah, it's not fair. I don't like when women quit when it's their turn. That's bullshit.
You mean when they get married? Yeah, their turn is over.
God, How good do you feel? I know that we both went through some turmoil after our divorces, but now that it's behind us, how good does it feel to be alone? Especially after, like, Valentine's Day just happened. The fact that neither one of us had to worry about some fucking broad with low self-esteem. We didn't have to worry about if we got her enough shit to show our love. Ugh.
The only broad with that I got to worry about is my dog.
That's all that matters.
I felt bad. Earlier, before we started the podcast, you know, because we do it down here in the shop. Now, I ran up to the house, and she was in the chair. She jumped up like, "What's up? You're back!" And I'm like, "Fuck, only for a second. I just gotta grab some things, and I'm out again." And then she looked at me like, "What the fuck? You're leaving? Motherfucker!"
Yeah, I think we talked last week about how your dog, having a dog is like having a woman, man. They judge you in the same way.
No, but it's not judgment. It just, it feels different, you know, like a woman would make you feel bad, I guess, about it, but she just looks sad. Like, you're kind of everything to me, and now that you're leaving, I'm back to zero.
Yeah, it does feel better because you know that in your dog's world, you are number one, and you're never quite sure if in a woman's world that you're number one. So it is
exactly.
Different.
Exactly. That's a great point, Mike. I mean, you know, with the dog, you are always number one. That is such a good point.
Well, I think that's why they say a dog is man's best friend, right?
But they're even a man's best friend to a woman, too. I think, you know, I don't think it's a man-woman thing, really. I think people let people down.
I agree.
You know?
I agree, and especially, you know, people with vaginas.
People let people down, and dogs don't. So they're the best friend to dogs, to dogs, to men, to women, every fucking squirrels, whatever.
Yeah, dogs don't judge, I think is your point, right? They'll be, and I don't like how you got to bring up that dogs are also the best friend for a woman. It seems a little white knightish. It seems a little cuckoldy that you would say that. Like, well, just so you know, dogs are friends with girls too. Like, we're trying to further the male agenda with this podcast, and the fact
I'm gonna blow my pot smoke in your face for bringing up controversy.
You keep defending these ruthless women who tear the hearts out of men. You know, Steve Bezos, right there. He just made another millionaire with his divorce. You know, we got another billionaire. And all she did is what? Probably sucked his dick for the first couple years. You know she never put a finger in his ass.
But here's the thing, Mike. You just told me you could eat good pussy.
Well,
you got a shot. Now, thanks to Jeff Bezos, you got a shot at being the second most richest person in the world if you can get in there and eat that pussy. How many guys are lining up to eat that Jeff Bezos pussy wife? If I lived anywhere near, what is that guy from, Seattle?
I don't know, but I'm with you.
I think they live in Seattle, yeah. So you got to be up there in Washington. If you're in Washington, you need to be looking at eating some pussy that Jeff Bezos previously had his dick in.
I would even be okay if I ate her box for like a half hour and she was like, I ain't gonna suck your dick because I don't know you like that. I'd be like, that's cool. That's cool with me. Get your checkbook out, hooker.
I'm just saying, don't you think you gotta figure out how to please Miss Bezos?
You're right. I bet you that there's tons of guys lining up trying to corral her, you know?
How would you even go on a date with her? I mean, because she's got to look at every guy as just like, they're here for the money.
Well, there's no way for that. And I wonder if she'll act like a man would. Like, you know, what about Bezos now? Is he going to just be banging 23-year-olds because he can now because he got rid of the old fucking ball and chain?
Ah, man, I think if you're going after the wife, you're like, fuck him. He's going to be rich forever. He's good. They're divorced. I don't give a fuck. I just need to lock this down. This bitch is rich.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just think your focus is on her and how you lock that down.
I think the key would be to getting to the eating the pussy part, and then you really, you got to gather up all your knowledge.
You got to nail that.
You got to gather all your knowledge of eating box that you've acquired over all these years. You got to use every trick in the book. And you got to figure her out quick, bro, because you know figuring out how to eat a woman's box, that's a hit or miss thing. Sometimes it takes a while. And they're not good at telling you what to do. They like to lay there and act
not
stupid.
At all.
And then they bitch about it afterwards because you did a bad job. So you're going to have to figure out fucking quick what makes Mrs. Bezos tick. Is it a thumb in the butt? Because sometimes it's only just the tip of the thumb. They don't like the whole thing because that makes them feel dirty.
Not at all.
But they don't mind
not
a little
the whole thing,
tickle.
Just the tip.
They don't mind a tickle. Is she a tickle gal?
You got to like, you know, whatever. But I'm with you. If you fail, your whole Bezos lottery operation is down the tubes.
That's it. You got one chance.
It's on to the next guy.
She ain't giving anybody second chances. Not when she's got a line of dudes a mile long. Nobody gets a second shot at that box. You got to nail it. You got to hit that home run first pitch.
Hey, man. Your input is always welcome down by the river. Give us a call and let us know what's up. How you feel about the show, what you thinking, your drinking stories, your drink mixes, fucking questions. Let's hear it. 225-800-3175. That's the number. Write it down. 225-800-3175. 75. Give us a call, y'all. In all seriousness, as we sit here and think about how bad we like to get in ex-Bezos pants, is the next dude who comes into her life gonna really financially benefit, or will he just come in independently rich, she's rich, and it kind of is what it is? You know what I'm saying? Like, if she took me or you on, oh fuck, life changer for us. You know what I'm saying? Is she gonna pick somebody in her level, you know, or she I just can't imagine what'll happen to the dude who gets to marry the second most rich woman on the planet?
I think she's gonna pick someone that's already rich. She's not gonna, because anybody that's not already rich, she's gonna know immediately that the motive is to get some of that fucking money, right?
Yeah, it has to be. It always is with the worthless, fucking, empty-pocketed sons of bitches.
Ugh. Either way, God bless her. I just wonder. I would feel really bad if I was fucking Miss X Bezos, and after we're done fucking, she pulls out a fucking towel out of the bathroom and lays it on my chest and says, "It's for the hair. It's for the hair."
She probably would. But before that even happened, she'd be like, you guys would be dating, and she'd catch it, your chest hair coming up out of your head, like at dinner, and she'd have a specialist come over to your house and take care of it before you guys even got together.
Yeah, that would be the nice thing about money is, oh, you got a problem with it? Then fucking pay to have it fixed. Biatch!
Yeah, and then somebody would come over to your house when y'all aren't even on a date, and she'd fucking strip it, wix it, wax it, smooth it, sand it, blast it. And then you'd get with Ms. Bezos and you'd be fucking sex goddess off of a novel.
See, and that's cover. The only time, like, we talk about how I despise guys that are just like, happy wife, happy life. But you would be amazed at how quick I would turn that corner and become that guy if it was Mrs. Bezos. And I don't even know what this bitch looks like, but it doesn't really matter because I know what her checking account looks like.
If you were just taken care of.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, I got this shop down here. You know, I mean, I was riding in today on the road that I get to come to my house. It's this long road, and I see all these big, beautiful shops behind houses. You know how much we love talking about living in the shop. And I was just looking at these shops and thinking about how many times all these guys here, how long you gonna be out there?
Yeah.
How long?
You been in that shop all day. When are you going to come in the house?
When are you coming in?
Ugh. You know they deal with that. You know that's like an endless thing. And I mean, if you're a man and you're listening, stop letting them do that shit to you, dude. Fucking stand up for yourself. Be a man. Say, I'm in the shop till I'm done being in this shop, bitch.
You know what I thought? I'm going to be out here until you die.
Bro, I learned a lot by watching my grandfather and my grandmother. My grandfather was in, you know, World War II. He's in the Air Force. He made a living. He had a shop out in the middle of the country. He would fix anything. Your combine breaks down, your lawnmower, your car, your bulldozer. My grandpa could do anything. And at first I thought he's just really skillful with his hands. He enjoys this type of work. He would be out in his shop from literally 5:30 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night every day. And the more I got to know my grandmother, the more I realized the reason he was out there is because he didn't fucking want to be around her. But my grandfather took a stand and he was like, you know what? This is what I do. I go in my shop from 5:30 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. And you're welcome to ring me out here. They had a little PA system he set up. You're welcome to let me know when lunch and dinner is ready, but that's the only time you're allowed to talk to me. And God bless my grandpa. He put his fucking foot down because you couldn't do that nowadays.
I love it, man. It's almost like it was like divorce without all the legality, the courts, the lawyers, the money. All the everything else. He basically just said,
yeah,
I'm done with you. You annoy the fuck out of me. I'm gonna be out here. Ring me if there's food. Otherwise, suck a dick.
I think that his only place of escape was that shop, though, because I remember one time we were eating dinner and my grandmother used to always bitch at him. She was constantly bitching at him, which is why he was in the shop. But one night we were eating dinner and she was bitching at him, just fucking, God damn it, Glenn, this and that, and you did this and fucking blah, blah. And she walked out in the kitchen and he looked over at me and he said, I created a monster. I should have put my foot down years ago. And bro, I remember that to this day. I was probably 11 when he said that to me. And I realized right then, you can't let a woman fucking treat you like that your whole life. Otherwise, you'll create reasons to be in the shop from 5:30 in the morning till 9 at night. And that's what he did, you know?
I mean, I recognize a lot of truth in that, I gotta tell you, Mike. I mean, I remember not too long ago, I was with family. And I was in the room, and I don't want to put anybody, name out there, but I was in the room with somebody. And they were ugly to me, Mike. And my first thought was, I'm going to get the fuck out of here in the shop. I had walked into the kitchen. This was like a Thanksgiving type thing. And I had walked into the kitchen and said, oh, can I help, you know, do this or that? And there was some ugliness. And my immediate thought was, well, I'll be out in the shop helping, you know,
yeah,
Eddie with the cabinet build that we're working on. And I couldn't get out there quick enough just to feel like free from that energy. And I mean, I think that's what a lot of guys feel, you know, when I get out there where everything's not perfect. You know, the shop is imperfect. You know, the walls aren't perfect and it is kind of rough. Like we are, you know, and it's tools and it doesn't smell good. And, you know,
yeah.
It just feels more real than this false little fucking fake bullshit world we kind of pretend to live in sometimes, I guess, huh?
I agree. And I think that's why we're very lucky. It sounds weird to say it, but we're very lucky to be alone at this portion of our life, because now we don't have to deal with that.
You mean right now, me and you in the shop, that we're alone?
Well, I mean, no homo, but I'm saying, like, no women in our lives to be telling us to not be out in the shop right now recording a podcast. If either one of us had a woman, one of them would have tried to squash a fucking late night drunken podcast in a shop. So I think we should feel lucky, but I still want to reach out to all the men that
Mike,
listen.
Why do you mean? Why do you gotta tell people it's late night? It's Tuesday morning.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm wrecked. How late is it? What?
I think we gotta get this up, and it's 3 a.m. We got 1 hour and 20 minutes to edit this and get it up on the air. So we should probably wrap it up.
All right, don't edit.
We're not going to edit anything, but anyway.
I don't know how to edit. Are you on the sober team?
I think right now I was on the sober team until we started this podcast, and then I proved that I don't know if I deserve to be on the sober team.
I don't think you should be on the sober team anymore. You've totally failed.
I just have
sober
to be
team rules.
I've always maintained to be on the sober team, you just have to be more sober than Steve.
I don't know if I've made this clear, but brand new episodes of Whiskey, Weed, Women, the last Friday of every month, okay? Not every Friday as we once did, because we're doing a lot more, like this podcast and touring, and I'm going to be a huge television star at some point. I don't, probably not, but maybe. So just the last Friday of every month, Whiskey, Weed, Women got a brand new build that I'm working on right now. I think y'all gonna like. Check it out.
It's on
episode
on YouTube, everybody.
Coming up.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that shit. It's on everywhere, Mike. You didn't know that?
I do. I knew that. And I also know that you guys should write a review of this podcast and maybe rate it on iTunes,
mm-hmm.
or find Steve on all those social media outlets and give him a follow. And that will help everything.
Man, you can listen to this podcast on what? iTunes, Stitcher.
I think they already know how they can listen to it.
Tune in.
But they're already listening to it, Steve. So they already know how they can listen to it because they're already listening to it.
Man, that's a good point.
So Whiskey Weed Women's on YouTube. Quit being a bitch. Don't let your woman fucking control your life. Man up. Let your chest hair grow out. If she has to put a towel on it to feel comfortable after you get done fucking pumping rounds into her, tell her to fucking kick rocks, bitch.
Kick rock, sucker. Thanks for hanging with us down by the river, y'all. Y'all come join us, roll one up. Get you a cold one. Come on! I'm wrecked. I don't edit.
And that's so Raven.